There's a story inside every smoke shop, with every cigar, and with every person. Come be a part of the cigar lifestyle at Bóveda. This is Box Press.
How long has it been since you started the company?
I founded the company in 2016. I was with a former business partner at the time. He was a knife maker, and we worked together for 2 years and a half. And that's when Pablo joined me. It was in 2018, and that's when it actually really took off, because Pablo has a special set of skills that I was lacking in sales distribution. I'm a good communicant, but he added a lot to the company.
Pablo, was it your idea to do the whole outer space thing?
No. Basically, we were looking for, you know, ways of celebrating the man on moon. That was the anniversary at this time. So we are looking for spare parts of some rockets.
Sure.
Or we don't know about that. So we tried to find some spare parts of Russian rockets, or we don't know what.
Right.
And it was really hard to find. So we had this conversation, you know, very next to a gin tonic or something. And and Pierre just told me, yeah, we can send something to the moon or to the stratosphere.
Yeah,
and I went, you're fucking crazy or what?
Yeah.
and we actually, we went Google every solution and we did it. And it was great.
Actually, it was quite easy to send something into space, but you needed to have the correct accreditation from the national, I don't know what you call that in English, but that like the National Air Service.
Sure.
You cannot send anything into the air without asking them. So it would have took too much time. And in the end, I found a company that was really into it. They were used to it, and I had this idea. So we designed 3 cutters made of gold, using the NASA topographical maps of the moon. So it's the exact surface of the moon printed in gold. We put 2 diamonds on it to embody the astronaut that stepped on the moon 50 years back. And here we went. So we sent these 3 cutters into the stratosphere. I think it went 35 kilometers high. I'm so sorry, I'm French, so
Doesn't matter.
Don't know in miles how much
that
is.
You don't have to do the math.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We have people in the background that'll do
and,
that.
And it landed 3 hours later in a huge field. And I was so relieved because, you know, when you send fricators made into space in gold, you want to send them back. Because it's expensive, so I was so relieved to see the cutters landing, and that was awesome.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to break this whole thing down, because you said a whole bunch of stuff that is just not probably true to what I'm hearing. So first off, you said, it's easy to send stuff in space.
Yep.
Not true. To the general public here, I'm thinking... So when you heard he's going to send something in space, first off, Pierre, how did you know that you could send something into space?
That's my general knowledge, maybe.
You didn't know that this company exists, right?
I knew that you could use some kind of inflatable balloons, like sound
balloons.
Okay, so you
knew
balloon.
The process.
Yeah, the process, I knew it. I knew
you
it was
possible.
You just
didn't know possible. Who. So me and Pablo are over here going... What? Right?
Yes, definitely.
Like, okay.
I started Googling everything, actually. So,
you knew the process. You're like, okay, no, it's a balloon, and do they use helium gas in the balloon, or what? It's a special gas, right?
Yeah,
we're not just blowing this up.
It's a special gas, but I don't remember which
one. Hydrogen, I think.
Hydrogen.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, something that gets it going, right? Because you have to have kind of like a lot of force to get up there.
The only unfortunate thing is that when I went there, when they launched the balloon, and I couldn't smoke a cigar when they were filling the balloon with hydrogen, they told me it could explode and blow you out of space. So that's the only unfortunate thing. Yeah, but
that's
everything
the unfortunate
is quite
thing?
Easy. Yeah,
dude.
I smoke cigar. I like to smoke
you
cigar everywhere,
have
anytime.
Your priorities, right, my friend. It is like, hey, we're going to do this crazy thing. We're going to take a lot of expensive gold. We're going to send it into space. We're going to hope to God it comes down. It's got hydrogen gas and blah, blah, blah. And the disappointing thing is I can't smoke a cigar right now while I watch this all unfold.
Yeah, yeah. That's me.
It's not really unfortunate that we're taking a big risk. This may not work. It may not even reach space. None of that is entering your brain.
The company has had a really nice track record. I think they sent several hundreds of things into space, maybe iPhones, or they even sent a mojito into space. So yeah. They sent basically everything that exists. They already sent it to space.
A mojito.
Yeah. No. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So they do this and you're disappointed you can't smoke your cigar while this cool event's going on and celebrate it, right? And then you also, how does the balloon pop to come back down?
That's exactly that. The gas expands, and at some point, the balloon can't hold the gas anymore. So it pops, and when it pops, the payload just gets down, and there is a chute. So the parachute. It takes the payload to the ground quite easily. And the people we've been doing this with, actually, they calculated the trajectory of the payload from ascending to descending, and it landed like 50 meters at the exact point they calculated, and it was like 300 kilometers away.
So that's what I was going to ask is, how the heck do you know where this thing's going to land?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, it's not just like throwing a ball up in the sky. It's not like just dropping something from a low helicopter, you know, a helicopter's hovering and you drop it.
Yeah.
This is outer space, and then they had to calculate where they thought it was going to fall based on multiple wind currents?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. With the winds, stratosphere, winds, the atmosphere, they calculate everything. They have models they rely on, and depending on these models, they can calculate everything. So that's why if anybody wants to do that, best is to not do it by yourself, as I was planning at the beginning. But yeah.
If you're just thinking about the process, you got to be insane to take this on by yourself. It would be just a crapshoot of whether or not it'd be successful. Okay, so now we know how it gets down. We know that they calculated accurately. Then you run out there to go get it, right?
Yep.
Now you're wondering, because you had to build like a little like harness slash, because it wasn't just good enough to say that you did it. Hey, we sent this into space. Wait.
Yeah.
What you wanted to do was to video it.
Yep.
And not only did you want to video it, you wanted the cutters, all three of them, to be stacked in frame the whole journey, all the way up, pop, all the way down.
Yep.
And I literally saw people running as it was coming down in your guys' promo video. So if you're out there and you want to see this video, you just have to go. Is it on your website?
Actually, it's on YouTube. We have a channel with only a few videos because we have not been focused on YouTube. But it's there, and you even have a 360 video when you can manipulate the camera, so you can look at the balloon popping in real time, and you can look at the stratosphere all around. So it's quite
so
fun.
So not
to,
only was it one frame,
It
was 360 degrees
yes,
frame.
Yes, absolutely.
You guys... Yeah. It keeps compounding. Do you ever do anything just kind of like not all there and you go, dang, I wish we would have done this? Did you have that question at all on this project? Did you go, man, I wish we would have done this?
Some people told us, I wish we would have done this, but...
Did you? I'm asking, did you? I don't care what other people say, because... The standbyers can say whatever the hell they want, but they didn't do it.
Yep.
So between you two, did you say to yourself, dang it, I wish I would have done this.
Well, actually, that was pretty much what we wanted to do.
Exactly.
Exactly.
That's my point, because you're thinking of everything. And if this is any indication as to what kind of product you're able to get out of Leifin Lam, just take a second to process that. There's a lot of steps going on with that promo that you did.
Yeah.
And you nailed it with everything that you wanted to do. So now you have the product back on ground. You run over to it, make sure all of them are there, right? Because what are we looking at as far as like monetary weight in gold? Are we looking at $1,000? Are we looking at 20, 30, 40,000?
With the three combined, it's more for like several thousands. So yeah, more like how much is the one good with numbers?
Yeah.
So
I
need to ask him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We wanted to sell it at like $15,000, something like that.
No, I'm talking about the actual value of the gold raw material. How much do we got there?
Oh, the cost of it? You mean?
Yeah, the gold.
All right. Oh, it's we don't know the weight of this item, but we know the cost of the prototypes, and yeah, it costs $1,000. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So the each cutter retails for about $15,000.
That's what we want. Yeah.
Have you sold any?
Actually, we are too busy building the company to sell these particular cutters. We've been so busy answering the inbound.
There's nobody out there that has asked to buy them yet?
Yeah. No, because we didn't really promote these cutters. Actually, that was a nice way to introduce the new product, because it was celebrating the 50th anniversary of Man on Moon, but also it was the first time people could get a look at the Le Petit, our new product.
Right.
So it was really to start the product with something like a statement, something bold. So we started this way.
It was an okay statement. It was a statement, man. Yeah. It blew my mind. It was so cool.
But
and when you talk about the petite, it means you came out with a larger one. And the larger one was quite a bit longer. It was a little bit more bulky. It didn't have like the half moon cutout. It actually had a circle.
Yep.
So it kind of restricted the ring gauge. But overall, that product for me was just too large for me to actually get a daily carry out of it. So this, you took it to the next level.
Yep.
You brought it into my pocket so that it fit nicely and I felt comfortable using it.
Absolutely.
That was the plan. We just made that for you. For you to be able to carry it. Yeah. I'm kidding, but
I know.
Yeah.
But I love it.
Yeah,
but you,
I know that. Yeah.
But you got probably that feedback from the first one?
Yeah, the first one was big indeed. But at the time I launched the company, it was cool to have big knife. And I'm talking especially in Europe. I know that in the US, big knife is not a big deal. Many people have knives in the US, that's not a problem. But in Europe, people are not really accustomed to knives. It was cool to have a big knife at the time in Europe, but then we got waves of like terrorist strikes, like bombings and everything. So people were afraid of weapon. So when we were pulling out a big knife, people were like frightened.
So all of the terrorist attacks, like the ones in Barcelona and all that stuff, was happening at this time.
At this time, yeah.
And you didn't want people in the general public to feel uncomfortable about you literally only cutting a cigar.
Absolutely, yeah.
So let's make it a little more discreet. Yep. And let's make it a little bit more walkable, let's say.
That's it. And also the price points was not very clever, because it was a budget that you can't afford, you know. It was $400.
Yeah, I mean, it was you're not sneezing out $400 for a cutter.
Yeah, but what can you buy for $400? You know, you buy a smartphone, you buy a washing machine, new stuff for your house.
My smartphone's like $1,000, and I can't believe we pay that much for the dang thing.
Yeah. So that's a lot of money. So, you know, I told Pierre about the Nike Air Max Index, what I call the Nike Air Max Index. So if you earn $1,000 a month or $15,000 a month, okay, you have Nike Air Max because it's priced between 100 to 200 price points. That's really important because if you want a gift, a Nike for you or for the people you love, so if you want to gift something, you know, it's between 100 to 200. It's very important. So
okay, I get you. You're hitting a price point that you know people can say, it's not going to take me.
If I like it, I take it. It's not something people will have to think about.
Or they don't have to save up, or they don't have to think, that's like, how does this affect my financial budget?
Completely.
That's smart.
Yeah. That was the point.
Now I see why you brought him in. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
And also, I told you that the big one was frightening. And when we designed this one, we showed it to our friends, female friends, especially wives, my mother, his sister. And every time we got the reaction, oh, it's so cute. So we knew we had something. It wasn't, oh, what's that, a weapon? Are you going to stab me with this? Or it was, oh, that's so cute. So in the end, we knew we won on the product design. Because when you win the woman's heart, everything is nice. Everything is okay.
Amen to that, brother. But you got to continually win the woman's heart. Mm.
Yes.
It's continual work, which is, you know, what you got to do.
That's it. And, you know, women are the large part of the cigar community, and this is a part which is growing. So if we design cigar accessories that are cute or appealing to them, we win.
Yeah.
Because it's important. Because if it's a gift, that's cool. If it's something for them, it's cool too. Okay?
But let's just be clear. It's not a cute only lighter. It's like, it's not a cute only cutter. It is a, it's masculine as well. It's I guess it has no gender. It's just.
Yes.
It's so. I don't know. It's just nice. It feels good in the hand.
Yeah. It's classy.
I will
and it's
say
badass.
This. It does take practice.
Yes. A little bit.
Usually you need to cut a few cigars with it, like maybe 2, 3, 5 cigars. But once you get it, once you get how to use it, it's really easy and convenient. And we got so many people here on the show that told us that became my main cutters after a few cuts. Because I couldn't imagine. At first I was thinking, oh, it's fancy, it's a nice cutter, but it might not work well. And we got really nice feedback from the users that we have.
Those are true. Yep. I thought the same thing. I'm like, okay, this is fancy, it's cumbersome. You have to stick it in on the side with the logo.
Yep.
Because the blade is straight on that side.
Absolutely.
And then on the other side it's curved, okay? So if you read the Half Wheel article, you know, that's where it's at. All right? That was the mistake. Brooks was putting it on the wrong side. So
maybe.
And then on top of that, the way the action works with that hangover, like a barber's razor, I'm not familiar with that. I'm not a barber. So I don't use that type of action a lot. In America, it's a lot of like the action or the little bump is on the blade and you use that to flip it out.
Yes.
But here it's on the back hanging off. So you have to reconfigure your hands and then you have to be able to hold it in one hand while you hold the other cigar. And anytime you have to put a finger on a blade, it's like your brain thinks, don't do that. Don't put your finger on the blade. You know what I'm saying? Like, as a kid, I was always taught, if you're going to have a knife, this is how you handle it, and you don't put your finger on the blade.
Mm.
You know what I mean? I don't know if you were trained that way or taught that way.
Yeah, actually, I think the American people call that a friction folder. But we call that a Piemontese knife, and it's the design itself actually pays homage to my roots because my grandfather was from Piemont in Italy, and so that's a classical design, and it's something that you can open with one hand, and that has only one hedge. So it's not something, it's a utility knife. It's not something that that you can use to defend yourself or
right.
Something like that.
So yeah, no.
It's not a dangerous thing. It's just a utility knife that you can use to cut your cigar, to cut meat when you eat nice barbecue meat, for instance. It's
I've
so convenient.
I've seen the Instagram photos.
Yeah.
The charcuterie board is on point, and you're using the leif and lam to cut up that meat and that cheese. But here's the thing. Okay, so we're going through. We're trying to figure out how to use this. And that's where I'm just coming at the point where it just takes practice. And I think the key is when you invest in something like this, you want to practice with it.
Yes.
And then once you get comfortable with it, it becomes second nature. I'm no longer afraid of it. The first video that I did and released, you guys remember that?
Yeah.
Yes.
I feel so bad because I thought, oh, this will be easy. I'll be able to whip it out real quick. And I rushed the video because typically I practice with the product. And that was a very good point for me to learn because it was something that I wasn't comfortable with. So therefore it came through as uncomfortable on the video. Mm-hmm. Yep. And now I need to go back and reshoot the video. But I think the honesty there of knowing and letting the customer know that it does take some practice is just my viewpoint. Now, maybe not everyone has that, but I want that to be my voice of truth, that it does take practice.
Maybe I can add something on top of that. I think I remember the video, and I think the cigar you used was a bit dry.
Yes,
and
it was.
You missed the cut. Any type of cutter you use on the dry cigar, you miss the cut. So if the cigar is in good shape, you don't have any problems with any kind of cutter, and especially this one, because it goes straight into it, and that's it. It's really easy and convenient. So you need to practice maybe a few times, but once you understood the basic, which is to put the cigar on the flat side to have a scissor effect, that works every time. That's no problem.
And the beauty of it, so on that note, as far as the cigar being dry, when it crunched, I heard the crunch on the video.
Remember,
I was like, I think I grabbed the wrong cigar. And they were from the trade show, so they were probably a little dry because it's dry here.
That happens.
Vegas. The blade, because here's my rule of thumb. Double blade cutters where it's two blades coming together cut better than single blade cutters. Because usually you're smushing the cigar up against the frame of the cutter and only the blade is coming from one side.
Yeah.
So you don't get a good, nice, crisp cut. What's different here is that this is not a single blade cutter.
Yes.
It's technically a single blade cutter, but it's so dang sharp that there's no ability to smush anything anywhere. Because as soon as you start cutting that cigar, it's cutting.
Yeah.
You have to be mindful of where your fingers are. Because if you slip, it's gonna hurt.
It's not that dangerous, but at least there is no escape for the cigar. Once it started, it's ended.
But again, I'm just like, it's a very sharp, well-engineered blade. And on top of that, I love the fact that there's a little degree change on the blade because I like the degree that I cut at. That's where I'm touching the cigar. It touches my mouth. I don't want to be opening up packages with that blade. I don't want to be doing all this stuff. And so I like the degree change because then I know if I'm going to use it to cut meat or something like that's where I stop my cut. I don't drag the cut all the way to the base of the knife. So anyways, I told you guys we weren't going to talk about the product, but I had to talk about the product because it's so exciting.
It's so unique also.
The way you launched it, it's so exciting. And all the engineering and all the thought that you put into it is amazing. But Pierre, you come at this from a background that makes you suitable to do this.
Actually, I used to work in the video game industry. At the time, social media didn't exist. I'm that old. And I used to work on like MMORPGs, which stands for Massively Multiplayer Online Role Playing Games. And I'm glad I was able to say it without I'm doing it right now, without losing my words. So, and I was working on a video game called Dark Age of Camelot, which was like the precursor of World of Warcraft. Sorry, it was something big. And I was in charge of everything that has to do with community. That's why I knew about how to build communities, how to maintain communities, how to nurture communities. That was my set of skills. That's why I launched this product this way, using Instagram. And I think at the beginning, when I started the company in 2016, there weren't much CR people and CR professional, especially into Instagram. I had like I was in advance, so that helped me took off really quick with something really unique, and that's how actually I started the company with this unique set of skills.
Yeah. You knew how to nurture customer,
yeah,
and keep them kind of like attached to the either brand or product.
Yeah, interested into the brand, the experience. It's all about the experience. Even with a cigar, when you smoke cigar, there are so many different cigars. You've got to try them all. You don't stick to a specific brand. Actually, some people do, and that's good for them. But the beauty of cigar is to experience, to have many things to play with. Right. And the cutter as well, it's something that was new for these people to experiment. And I was really really happy to find the community feedback in what I did. And it was, I knew how to do that. So I was happy to be able to build on this, to launch the product in a crowdfunding campaign, which was something quite unique. I don't think anybody has done this in the cigar industry yet.
Yeah, crowdfunded campaign, popular. Yeah.
So I did that. At the time I needed funds because it was a starting company. So I did that with the first ever product we had, Big Knife.
Yeah.
And it went well. It helped us to establish the company. And then we did that also for Le Petit, the smaller version. And it helped us to reach new levels. And so we also did that for bracelets, the new products we have.
Right.
We did that in last October. But we don't need funds anymore. So it was like all about marketing fest.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we were happy to do it this way. But to be honest, we won't be doing any more crowdfunding campaigns because it sends some false messages. Some people still think that... thinks that we still need money, but we are an up and running company, so we don't really need money. It's just about the marketing, the campaign, the community, because we are a community born brand, so we like to pay back to the community as well, and to have some boiling interest into the community and to have some action into the community. So that's what we like to do.
And Pablo, your experience and background comes in play how with Leif and Lam? Did you think you'd be ever working on making a cigar cutter?
not at all. You know, I started my career in international trade. I used to work for the military. Okay, I used to work for the French like a battleship maker. Okay, I started like that, and after I went to North Africa to sell fine art supplies. All right, so I discovered export, and that was a revelation for me, because to travel, to do business everywhere in the world, it was crazy. Okay, and after that I came back to France and I visited all Europe working in the fashion industry for 2 years, and after I did 4 years in a jewelry industry, which is awesome, because when I met Pierre, he told me about, he already had this idea about the punch cutter bracelet, and I thought that was a really cool idea. So I had a big playground to have my set of skills, which is international trade, building international distribution networks, and that was a really cool item, you know, the cigar knife on the first step, and the second step was the punch bracelet. It was really fun tool, you know, for my skills. So that's why I started with him.
Yeah, you are a perfect fit for this. You got the international distribution, and then you got the jewelry side of it.
Yes.
And so you're talking about the punch bracelet. It's when the bracelet twists, well, it's elastic, so it comes on and off. And a lot of people in the cigar industry wear these beaded bracelets.
Yes.
And so, Pierre, the idea came as like, was everyone wearing these bracelets? And you were like, man, I wish I could make this utilitarian.
Actually, I used to wear these bracelets even before I smoked cigars. So it became a thing in the early 2000s.
Like a men's fashion thing?
Yeah.
Okay, I just see it a lot in the cigar community.
Actually, that's the main men's fashion thing. Because,
sure.
Yeah, everybody wear that from young man to anybody.
People like Room 101 brands making these types of bracelets and all that stuff. So it's a really popular item. But what made you then think, I got to make it utilitarian, I got to make it do something?
Maybe it came also with the idea of the knife cutter, because actually, as I told you, the shape of the cutter pays homage to my roots, my grandfather, who used to have a knife always with him. He was a gardener in Marseille, in one of the most beautiful parks in Marseille. And that's tradition that I went on to me, and I used to have a knife all the time with me. And I had a cutter, so I combined both. And then I thought, I also have these bracelets. Why not put something else into this bracelet so I don't have to carry a punch everywhere else? So the idea was there, like maybe 4 years ago, but I was so busy at the time building the company, building the network, building everything, that I couldn't launch it. And when Pablo joined, I told him about the idea, and it was an instant fit, because he was working in the jewelry industry for some time, and he knew how this kind of stuff works, and that's something also that's appealing not only to cigar smokers, because it's a cigar accessory in disguise. It's jewelry.
Right.
Yeah. If you don't know, you don't
know.
Yeah.
And it's lifestyle.
It's lifestyle. And so now, to me, your brand is not just a brand that makes accessories. It's a lifestyle brand. It's a way of living. You're making tools that make my life easier. And if that isn't something I want to invest in, boy, what else is there to invest in? You know, that ticks every box for me.
Absolutely. Because of the community Pierre created, because of the background of my personal background in fashion and jewelry, we have to build this lifestyle brand. And you know, when I started with Pierre, the main thing was, yeah, you do cigar knives, and it's a little bit frightening for a lot of people, and you can't travel with it. Yeah. Instead of, yeah, you can check, you can have it in your checked luggage, okay? But you need to have, you know, the brands need to be with you every time, okay?
Right.
So that was the point. So the punch bracelet was an idea, a very cool idea, to have always Le Fin Lam with you, with a cigar cutter always with you. So it's TSC approved. So you can do the cowboy dance in front of the agents, removing your watch, but you keep the bracelet. So and you always have Le Fin Lam with you.
Yeah.
I love it. Is there anything else that you have in the incubator up here that hasn't been launched yet?
Yeah, but this year we've been focusing on building the company, because we were two people in a 10 square meter office 2 years ago, and now we are 10 people. We are in much, much bigger office. And actually, we just moved into this new office in last November, and I think we already need to move to another office, because we are feeling
I love it. You're growing. It's good.
So this year is all about structuring the company, because we can't work the way we work when we are two people. And we have an idea for a new product that will be launched next year. So we decided to not launch anything new product-wise this year, but we are launching new edition of the Le Petit of the punch bracelets. But no new design, only new additions.
Okay, so no new product, just new additions
yes.
of the two you got going on.
Yeah.
Is that on the record or off the record? Just give me a tidbit of, have you, Pierre or Pablo, have you thought of any other ideas that aren't fully done yet, but you're working on them, as far as new product?
You understood, Pablo comes from the jewelry world. I'm like Finlam, so I think quick, and I have plenty of ideas. And we have, indeed, we have a new product we've been thinking of. We will cross both worlds of cigar accessories and jewelry as well. So we are currently working on a new design of product that will be appealing to people who like guillotines, okay? But we will have it will have also this jewelry style associated with it, and I think we got a pretty good idea that that you guys will love for next year. Yeah.
So it's if you like guillotines,
yep.
that's the clue, yep. and
yes.
that's where we want to leave it. Because guess what, the good stuff doesn't come out and get released until it's done right. It can't be released on the show because, as you saw, these guys don't take releasing lightly. They sent the Petit Le Finlam to space to grab your attention. They're not going to release the product on the show. So that's the little tidbit, and that's the only tidbit. This is the only channel that you're going to hear that tidbit on.
Yeah.
Because we have a great relationship, and we absolutely love the support and all of the innovation and constant desire to take it to the next level, to make my passion that much easier to enjoy. From one cigar smoker to another, I thank you. I thank you for coming in and making something new that I can actually get excited about and use every day.
Thank you, Rob. It's a
thank
pleasure.
You,
Rob. Always a pleasure.
Yeah.